The views and beliefs in the following program are not necessarily endorsed as the views or beliefs of WTGF Radio or its affiliated ministries.
Welcome to another edition of the Issues of Life radio show right here on WTGF. Join in our conversation today, 850-994-3747, or you can go to issuesofliferadio.com for more interaction, I guess you want to say. My train of thought, so.
We are sure glad you joined us today. We're in the studio here with John, our producer, and Paul, our co-host, and I'm Dewey Mars, your host, and trusting that the Lord will bless you today. We'll have a good time on the radio. Well, we always have a good time.
Yes, we do.
We get a little wild here sometime. One of these days, we're going to get video in the studio, and we're going to let everybody see what goes on in between our breaks and all that.
That could be scary.
That might be a problem.
We might have a small problem.
We sure enjoy ourselves, and we have a good time on the radio, and trust you do as well. So join us today, if you would. Call us at 994-3747, or send your comments or questions to issuesofliferadio.com, and we will respond to them. Now, last week, Paul, we were talking about communications in marriage.
Yes.
And we ended on a note of, what was that note we ended
on?
Well,
I asked you with about a minute and a half left, I asked you about, because I knew where you would take it if I asked you, and I asked you about, you were single for a lot of years, and, and you were a missionary, and you're certainly doing the Lord's work, but when you get married, the Bible says that you are to care for the things of your wife.
Yeah,
and that's what I believe it. That's in 1 Corinthians 7. I believe that's where it is. But and you've told me in the past before that it took you a little while to learn that. You know, it took you a little while to, because
hard-headedness.
Certainly, you want to continue to serve God. You want to marry a woman that will allow you to continue to serve God and serve God with you. And you certainly did that. I mean, your wife is
my sweet wife would probably tell you I'm still learning.
I think they all would tell that we're still learning. We're still being treated.
But while everyone should serve God, and you should certainly marry a mate that'll serve God, and but you do have to kind of restructure some of your priorities in the way you go about it, do you not?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, just for example, back, I remember, and this has been a long time ago,
Civil War.
20 some odd years.
War of 1812.
Yeah, about 23 years.
23 years, something like that. Anyway, we were living downtown New Orleans in the 9th Ward. She married, well, just to give you an example, when we got married, of course, she wanted to marry a man of God. She wanted to marry somebody in the ministry, and just happened to be me. And so, but when I was preparing this place where I lived, now you got to keep in mind, I don't know if you've ever been to New Orleans, but the 9th Ward is not the uptown, let's just say it that way.
I've heard stories of
it. The 9th Ward is where all the problems came started during the Hurricane Katrina. That's the levee broke was just down the way from me where that all happened. So anyway, it's a rough area, let's just say it that way. And this fine woman moved into this area with me, and she had never lived in a place like this, I don't believe. But when she came, right before we got married, her mother came with her, and they were looking at where I lived, and I had a hole in the ceiling. There was a big hole in the ceiling, and I was having a friend of mine, because you had to access the apartment, the living quarters upstairs from the outside. And so I wanted to make it nice for this fine woman. And so I had a friend of mine who was a pipe fitter. I had him make a spiral staircase going from the inside upstairs so we wouldn't have to go outside to the upstairs.
Oh, goodness.
And the kitchen was downstairs, see. We just had a bedroom upstairs, but it was only accessible from the outside. So anyway, she put up with all that. Her mother looked at that hole in the ceiling. She said, I found this out later. She said, "Are you sure you want this?"
Yeah.
But the real problem is that I was used to just when I was visiting the ships, or, I was a missionary to merchant seamen, and I'd go visit the ship. Well, I'd just take off, and she'd ask me, "Well, when are you going to be back?" You know, she started asking questions, and I felt interrogated. And so
you were single.
I let her know that, that I didn't, I'd be back when I got back. Well, that went over about like a lead balloon in an air show. And so, anyway, we had to work through all those kind of issues in those days.
And by the way, she's willing to go wherever you go and do whatever
Absolutely.
You want her to do. And sometimes we're guilty of taking advantage of that because
we
know they're willing to do it, so we just kind of go ahead and do
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Because we married good women that aren't going to say a whole lot.
Right.
You know, anyway.
I would not, I regret most of what happened in those days in that sense, you know, because I was a bonehead. And, I've called you a bonehead a few times, I was a bonehead. And so we had to work through a lot of issues. And most of them, I'll just go ahead and fess up. It got pretty serious in the first 2 years. By the time, in the first year, we made a trip to Central America in mission work, going down there, and I was involved in that at the time. And it got real serious to the point that I sent her home, which was in Okeechobee, Florida. Her daughter was getting married, and so she went there, flew back there, and we thought it could have possibly been over at that point in time. She did anyway. But what happened was when that happened, it got to that point. God spoke to my heart while she was gone that I was a bonehead, number one, and that she was my responsibility. And here's the thing I had to come to, that, and some of the things that took place seemed to me at that time to be irrational. Her actions seemed to be very irrational. But looking back at this point in time, looking back, they're very reasonable, logical, mm-hmm. because she was simply reacting to my lack of consideration for her needs.
Yeah,
that's how she interpreted it. And in actuality, it was true. I thought I was, but I really wasn't, you know. And so we overcame that, and God has given us a wonderful marriage. He's given me a wonderful wife, and we have a wonderful marriage today. But it all started because of, number one, lack of communication. Number two, miscommunication. Many times when we would get in an argument, a discussion, which would get very elevated at times. Afterwards, when we'd sit down and start talking about it and asking each other questions, and we'd get to where we saw where we miscommunicated. She was on one line, one train of thought, I was on another. And, of course, that still happens. Probably happens to everybody.
Sure.
It just depends on how you react or whether or not you react or respond to it. See, if you start with a principle that you made a vow, number one, to love this woman for all of your life, all of your both natural lives, you know, in sickness and health and, you know, and poverty and wealth and whatever, all the conditions of the vow, you actually made a vow to that end. Then, and you come back to that, then you kind of start getting things back on track. You know, you start in communications, you start with love, you know, you start with compassion and understanding, and I think that's where you were coming at it as far as the dwell with them according to knowledge.
Yeah, because I mean, and Paul even says, and I'm trying to look that up. I think it's 1 Corinthians 7, but Paul even says, yeah, that's what it is. He even says that if you want to continue to serve with a reckless abandonment, if you want to continue to be, you know, to have no regard for, you know, serve God the way he served God. He said, don't get married.
Yes.
I mean,
He said, if
that's the way you want to do it, then you don't need to get married. Because if you get married, you should care for the things of your wife.
That's correct. You know? Well, he says that text is that a man that is single, a man or woman who is single, serving the Lord, has all their attention focused on the Lord and service. A man who is married has a responsibility he can't get away from. A woman who is married has a responsibility she can't get away from, nor should they try. And it doesn't say that one is more greater than the other. He just says how they ought to work. See, and so a man that's married, he has a responsibility for his wife, for his family,
so,
for his children.
So this idea of, you know, shut your mouth and serve God, you know, you knew I was a man of God when you married me. That idea is really unbiblical, is it not?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I've had that attitude in the past. I have to confess, you know, and it's a wicked attitude. I've had that attitude, you know. You just, you know, shut up and let's serve the Lord. Well, that's you know, that's a wrong attitude. And the fact of the man being the head of the home, you know, that's not what it means. It doesn't mean, you know, I'm the general, you're the sergeant, you just fall in line. You know, that's not what it means at all.
It says in 7:30. 1 Corinthians 7:32, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. Verse 33, but he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, and it doesn't mean worldliness,
right.
Because the next phrase explains it. He that is married careth for the things of the world, how he may please his wife. And it goes on from there, but that stated pretty clearly.
Absolutely, you know? Without question. So consideration, and now let's back around to the verse that we kind of started with, dwell with them according to knowledge. You know, we began talking about that a little bit last week, and I think we ought to get back on that track a little bit. What does it mean to dwell with your spouse? You're a man dwelling with his wife according to knowledge.
Well, this is just a small example. Since about 15 or 16, I have always been a night person. I stay up all hours of the night. And when I got married, you know, she wanted me to go to bed with her. She didn't want me to step on it. Well, I said, well, that's just ridiculous. That's not a big thing. But I have learned after seven. Now if she were here, she would say I still do it too much. but of course now the Lord fixed me, so I got to be out of the chair. I can't. You know, he kind of fixed that problem for me. But I just go to bed when she goes to bed most of the time.
Right.
You know.
Well, now in our case, it's opposite. She's a night person.
Yeah.
And I, on the other hand, have given her consent. You know, I put up with it. I guess I don't like it. I want her coming to bed with me.
But
I let her do it.
The idea of dwelling with her with all knowledge, you find out anything that she. I've learned that, you know, because you know we married good women. You know, John and you and I, we all married. Good women, and we have godly wives, and so their barometer is pretty good. And if they have something that they are truly concerned about, if they have something that they're just really, really concerned about, this reflector tape on my chair, you see this? When I was going back and forth to a rescue mission helping out there for a while, I would drive back and forth in my chair, and she and her mother-in-law were genuinely concerned about that. They didn't want anything to happen, so I let them put this tape all over my chair because it made them feel better.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes if she has a real issue, it's my job to know what makes her tick, know what her likes and dislikes are, and fix those issues.
Well,
and as much as I can
know her emotional state.
Yeah.
See, somebody, you know, it's like. The joke I've told more than once on this program about the building that bridge from California to Hawaii, you know, it's easier to do that than it would be to understand a woman, you know.
Yeah.
But knowing their emotional state, you know, in your case, what they're afraid of, what causes them fear, something you can fix. I think if it's something we can fix, we ought to. I think we ought to.
And Renita, she really, 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 really doesn't like credit cards. I mean, she just really don't like credit cards. She's really concerned about it. So, you know, we're paying off the credit cards and we're not using them. Or she's not. I don't use them as much as I used to.
Uh-oh.
But I hope she's listening
today.
But it's just about finding out what makes them tick. And like you said, their emotional state. And doing something about it rather than just ignoring it and acting like they're being irrational and things like that.
Exactly.
Which we're prone to do.
That's what I was about to say. We're prone to, well, that's irrational, that's crazy, that's, you know. Well, that's not dwelling with them according to knowledge when we act like that. So,
join us. Tell us your experiences, your stories, 850-994-3747. Or if you don't want to talk on the phone, go to issuesoflifradio.com, type in a little comment there. And we'll get to it. It's the Issues of Life radio show right here on WTGF.
And we are back here on the Issues of Life radio program. We are discussing communication in marriage because we are all experts.
Yeah, right.
I don't believe that's the reason we're discussing it, but...
No, we're discussing it because we're
can
not
probably
experts.
Write a book on what not to do, maybe.
We're experts on what not to do.
I think every man could do that.
You reckon?
Yeah.
But give us a call at 994-3747, or you can reach us at issuesofliferadio.com.
I don't have your cheat sheet up here, do I?
Well, it's going to take me a while to get used to that. It's going to take me a while. But we got a few calls at the end of the show last week, but we'd like some calls earlier in the show, so we're not pressed for time. So give us a call and discuss your experiences.
All right. Well, this is an interesting subject, a needed subject. Another thing that influences communication would be how a person is gifted. And what I mean by that, I think we have gifts that relate to our communication style. And one of these days, John and I have been discussing this about coming on with the Life Languages. There's a book written by an individual who lives in the state of Texas out in Dallas. And I've gone through their seminar. They have a seminar, become a certified trainer in this particular thing of the speaking of love, the love languages by Fred and Anna Kendall. And very interesting stuff. And my wife and I, we went together to this seminar. Been a couple of years, 2 or 3 years ago now. And it helped us to understand one another. It really, really did a world of good for us to understand our languages and how they relate together. And as we got to begin to examine this thing, a lot of our conflict came from the lack of understanding of that. And Fred Kendall, he was a marriage counselor back in the day. He was a retired military officer, and then after he got out of the military, he was a counselor, and a marriage counselor. And he came home one day and was relating to his wife how that the couple that he had counseled with that day seemed like they were speaking different languages. One was speaking Spanish, the other speaking Russian or whatever, because they were not understanding each other at all. And so in the matter of and I think that's really what happens, because all of us, depending on our makeup, our communication style, our makeup, we relate to life and each other in different ways. For instance, a person who the languages are related to what's called a shaper. They have a certain style of the way they communicate. A doer has certain style of the way they communicate. And very interesting things in relation to that. And so we're talking about understanding one another, a man understanding his spouse. Well, we don't all communicate the same, especially men and women. I think even sometimes that gets involved, the emotional, the psyche of one as it relates to the other. And so it's our job, I think, to do what we can do to find out where that individual is coming from, how they are relating to whatever the topic is, whatever the problem might be. Sometimes it's like being on a different side of a wall, one describing one thing, the other describing something else that they see, not seeing the same thing or seeing the same thing in a different way. So I think... seeking understanding is extremely important.
Yeah, I mean, number one, you have to want to understand your spouse. You have to be willing to make it a priority, and I think it starts there. A lot of people just don't want to. They don't care. They're busy. They're doing things, and a lot of times men have a tendency to say, well, if the man's the primary breadwinner in the home, which nowadays it's not necessarily the case, but they say, well, I'm out working and I'm providing for my family, so I'm doing what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
Well, providing the financing for the family is a very small part of what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You're supposed to know what your wife's emotional state is. And I knew Renita, 13 or 14 years at least before. I mean, we spent a lot of time together, and so I knew her pretty well. I mean, I probably knew her better than most people know their spouses when they get married. But when we got married, I found out, even as well as I knew her, I didn't know her as well as I thought I knew her.
Nothing like getting married to give you an education.
Big education.
And I was raised around ultra alpha males who, you know, use a certain tone and had certain ideas, and you know, they weren't very kind in their constructive criticism. It may have been done constructively, but it wasn't done kindly.
Well, the tendency of people, especially in fundamental circles, is to, you know, we're going somewhere, just step, fall in line.
Yeah.
Follow the. And I have to confess, you know, I'm that way somewhat. You know, fall in line. Get in order. Let's quit causing, quit slacking behind or whatever, you know. Don't get out front, don't get behind. Let's just march forward together.
Well, the whole shut up and do your job mentality is a very valuable mentality in a certain context.
Yeah, in the military, it's vital.
Yeah.
So, but we're not always in that type of an environment.
Well, I can tell you this, it's disastrous for a marriage.
Yeah, in its place, it's absolutely necessary and essential. But out of its place, it can create great harm. I've known some military men, even back here, back years ago. I remember one particular, and he had gotten out of the military, and he pastored in Pensacola for a while. But his wife, I was talking with his wife one day, and she was talking about he wants the kids getting out of bed, standing at attention when he comes in the room.
I think I should require that.
Well, I've not been in the military, but that's what I would prefer.
Yeah, well, anybody
yeah,
would,
exactly.
But it just ain't, excuse my English, but it just ain't practical.
Like the Von Trapp family, when he had the whistle and they all had to come down, they all had their own individual signal for the whistle.
Yeah.
And they had to respond to that whistle immediately.
Well, you know, I met a man in Honduras who, in San Pedro Sula, Honduras, he was a businessman. And first time I was in his home, I think we were having a meal, or I was just there visiting. But all of a sudden, himself and myself in the living room, and he whistled a certain little tune, and all of a sudden his wife appeared from the side room.
Now, I had my dog trained like that, but I never did think about it the other way.
Well, you know what's funny? As our listeners know, I'm in a wheelchair and I've never been in the military, and I don't.
You can be a sniper.
But my boys.
No.
No, you won't want me shooting somebody at 1,000 yards. But when I say I need you to come here immediately, I don't know where they got it from, but my oldest son, he will stand at attention and salute me, and I've never taught him to do it. I don't know where he got it from, but when I use a certain tone and I say you need to come here now.
Yeah,
he comes and he stands at attention and he does this right.
That's funny.
That sounds to me
he
like
salutes
he got
you.
Some of Daddy's character from the past. I tell you now, I will putting this in its proper context. I knew of some missionaries in Africa who trained their children that when they yelled or when they had a certain tone or whatever, that they were to stop immediately and not move. You know, and this was that they were very diligent in training them in this area. I mean, and they were not to question. They were just to stop immediately. And of course, in Africa, missionaries in Africa, you've got all kind of danger. Snakes, you know, all kinds of things. And in one case, I heard of one particular case where they yelled at them and told them to stop immediately. And had they not done so, they'd have been dead. See, and so, I mean, I've always looked at, but that's not for everyday life. That's not for, you know, that's for dangerous situations.
That's a situation where everyone respects the father or the authority figure so much so that he's earned that respect. He's not a tyrant.
Yeah.
He's not cruel to his wife. He's not cruel to his children.
I can't imagine, you know, you see people with their children. And we're getting off the point a little bit, but it's still involved.
But you notice how we naturally went to children because that's just part of it. I mean,
exactly. And you know, can you imagine some of these children that are allowed to? What I'm going to count. I'm one.
Yeah,
they just
two.
Don't even face them. Two.
They do the thumping thing.
Yeah.
Instead of just taking them out and handling their business.
Right.
They and my daddy always said, "Man, I count." You got to, I get to woo.
but the point is, in an emergency situation, in a dangerous situation, if a person, if parents don't train their children, and even where they have signals between themselves for emergency situations, yeah, it could be fatal.
Well, see, we had to train our children. For us, a lot of times, it's a safety situation because I can't walk. So if I tell them to stop, we was at a church one time, and Johnny was barely walking, and he was headed out the door, and I said stop, and he just turned around and came back, or you know, I yelled, he turned around and came back, and then I don't know if he'd do that necessarily now, but I probably hadn't been as strict as I need to be, but the people were just amazed that he just turned around and came back, and you know, What's the fellow's name that wrote the books? He wrote with the long beard. He wrote the books. Michael Pearl. He tells a story about they were driving he had a military Jeep, and the battery was under the seat, and I don't know what all he meant, but something about the battery was about to arc. He heard it making noises, yeah, and it was going to spray acid everywhere. Yeah. And his two girls were in the front seat, and he said, "Get out of the car now." And his oldest son, who's behind him in another vehicle, he saw his sisters, little much younger, go out the passenger side window, and so when they got stopped, he said, "What's going on?" And the girl said, "Well, Daddy said get out of the car now. We couldn't get the door open, so they just went out the window."
Yeah,
but that's pretty precise obedience.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, and I believe that they need to understand. I think children's, you know, in communications, they need to be taught those things.
Sure.
Myself.
Sure.
And it would solve a whole lot of issues as far as danger toward the children, whole family in certain circumstances.
Join us on the Issues of Life radio show, 850-994-3747, or you can go to issuesofliferadio.com.
And we are back here on the Issues of Life radio program discussing communication and marriage. And we've kind of bled over into dealing with children because that's just a natural way to go. But anyway, give us a call at 994-3747, or you can reach us at issuesofliferadio.com with your comments.
I'll tell you what, I'd like to shift gears just a little in this matter of communication. Ephesians chapter number 5, it's... of course, husband and wife, one of the main texts in the Bible relating to instructions for husbands and wives. And it's a fairly long text that I want to read, but I want to go ahead and read it anyway. We need to get the Word of God in here on the subject matter, I believe. I think it's always important that we do that. But he says to be not unwise in verse 17 of chapter 5, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, you know, it'd be hard to get off track in communications if that were going on,
yes, sir,
every day, in the home, all day. In other words, if a husband came in and his wife was singing spiritual songs, making melody, just rejoicing in the Lord, and he comes in like a bull, then, you know, it's going to temper that down a little bit. Well,
or if she just ignores you.
Yeah. One thing.
Mine does it too.
John, that's not really what
I'm saying. I'm just saying, you know, I've kind of had
the experience.
You
said the opposite of what he just said. but
turkey time.
But, you know, one thing that I've noticed is, you know, we try to have devotions every night, at least that we don't have church. And it's really hard to fight with your wife and then go have devotions.
Yeah.
that kind of makes
it. Now, I have done it, yeah, just, you know, just in full disclosure. But usually by the end of the devotion, you know, one of us or both of us is in tears, you know, and we've dealt with it.
Yeah.
But that has done more for our marriage than just about anything else.
Yeah.
Know?
Well, and there's times, you know, we do some stupid things, I reckon. But You know, there's times to where we've sat down to have devotions and we'd read the Bible and then we'd get into discussion. When we're supposed to be, after you read the Bible, you know, it's time to pray. And I've noted this, you know, that sometimes we'll get into discussion, especially when there's a lot going on. You know, there's a lot of pressure and different things, and we try to discuss things, whether it's from without or within. You know, when we get into discussions, we'd be better off just going on to prayer, you know. You read the Bible, you go on to prayer, and you forget the discussion. You know, that is not... You talk to the Lord about whatever the problem is that you were going to discuss between each other.
See, but if y'all had some kids, I mean, because... if you had some kids, you'd be fielding questions like... Is Jesus stronger than a transformer?
Yeah, there's some other ones that pop up too.
You know, you'd be having to deal with those kind of issues, you know. Well, did God make the car? Well, no, God didn't make the car. Well, you said God made everything. You know,
so, I got that one too.
Those are the kind of issues. Well, did God make everything?
Did God make
or not?
Walmart? I mean, you know, we get those.
You said He made everything, and so that would kind of keep you. You know, distracted from that other stuff.
Well, I found, though, that if we'll just go on to prayer and forget the discussion at that particular time, we're both better off. Because if we go to prayer and the Lord gets to working in our lives, you know, then kind of hard to fuss with your wife, with your spouse. If you're praying, reading the Bible and praying, it makes it a lot harder to fuss with your spouse.
And I found that if you try to keep your tone the same at all times... Now,
that just don't happen with me. I've never mastered that.
Now, as I'm keeping my tone nice and calm, the veins in my head are getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You know? But my tone is what it should be.
That don't work in my house. I can tell you that. Because my wife, we're both alike in that area. It don't take a whole lot for the elevation to increase. So, you know, the modular system just kind of rises slowly, and then it gets to a place to where it just...
You have padding on your walls now, don't you?
No, I don't.
You just basically told him he needed to be in a padded room.
Well, see, that's my way of telling him.
And, you know, sometimes we ask dumb questions. Like the other night, my baby daughter, she's 5 months old, and she had gotten up four or five times.
She asked a question?
No, she didn't ask a question. Oh. But she had gotten up four or five times, and my wife gets up at 5:15 every morning to go to work. So she's, but my daughter had gotten her up four or five times, and I go down the hallway to go to bed, and I see that nobody's in the bed. And I look over my shoulder behind me where the living room couch is, and Renita's sitting on the couch with the baby. And I made the mistake of saying, "What are you doing?" Because my question was, I mean, obviously I saw what she was doing. I just was wondering why she was. And she goes, "What does it look like I'm doing?"
She wasn't in the mood for that at that time.
Evidently.
Well, let me get back to the scriptures here. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And then the next verse says, giving thanks always all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, hard to get at your spouse and be negative towards your spouse if you have just been commanded, or, well, let's not say commanded. It's a result of being filled with the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
The result of being filled with the Spirit is giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, again, if we're focused on being filled with the Spirit, and that's a command, by the way, to be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, what we just read. Now, so giving thanks is a means of to keep communication on track. Thanking God for what things? For
all things.
That spouse sitting beside you that you're about to rail at, you know. that's that argument that you're, you know, that spouse where you're about to have an argument with. If you're giving thanks for her and for her makeup that irritates you to the nth degree, then how are you going to argue?
So you're saying that whenever I ask specifically for a Eminem McFlurry... And my wife, for about the fifth time, brings home an Oreo McFlurry, which I do not like. Even a little bit.
Well, you better. Disgusting. You better put a smile on your face.
You're saying that I've got
it.
To be thankful.
Yep.
For that Oreo McFlurry.
Yes.
I didn't say that.
I did.
That's what the Bible says. However, it don't matter.
If you want to live,
it doesn't say that you have to remind her again that you don't like Oreo. And it doesn't say that you can't correct that mistake.
Okay.
The next one, now here's the real clincher.
Okay.
We're big, we men, we especially we fundamental men, fundamental Christian men, we are big on wives, submit yourselves
yep,
to your husband.
That's
right.
That's what the next verse, the verse after what I'm going to read, verse 21 says this, but verse 22 says, submitting yourselves, submit wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as
to your own husband.
But we like that.
Yeah.
We like that. I like that a lot, in fact, and I remind my wife occasionally, not near as much as I used to, but occasionally, that verse is in the Bible. But however, the verse just before that says, submitting your, the one right after thanking God for all things, says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, if I understand that correctly, this is in relation to husbands and wives, that there's areas where I'm supposed to submit to my wife.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't heard that preached on a whole lot, by the way.
You're not going to.
Unless we go find a woman preacher.
Unless we get a woman preacher.
They don't usually use that verse. The verse don't come out much. But there are areas to where we are to submit to our wives.
Well, you know, I'm just going to confess.
Now, when I get home, she's going to remind me of this.
Yeah, she will. And she's like, I need a recording of this, too.
Yesterday, a family in the church brought us some fish, and we love fish. We eat a lot of fish in my house. And so they brought us some fish, and we were going to make I was supposed to make the sides. Well, I made some black-eyed peas, and she said, I want some potatoes. Well, I was busy. I mean, I was doing something that I needed to do.
Uh-huh. What was that? What's the name of that trivia game?
No, it's something. I was doing something that I needed to do. I was playing that intermittently, though.
Okay, all right.
But, and I said, well, we don't need any potatoes. To myself, I said this.
Oh.
I said we don't need any potatoes.
That's a catcher.
Caveat there is important.
I said, we can just make some vegetables. We can open up two or three cans of vegetables and put them together with a little bit of bacon, butter in them, and as you can tell, I'm hungry. I said we can make some vegetables.
Why did he just bring food for us?
She gets home. She said, did you make potatoes? I said, no, I got busy. I said, I've been busy all day. I've been handling things. Well, I could have just done what she asked me to do. Trust me, it would have been a whole lot better if I just done what she asked me to do. But I mean, there's nothing wrong with us just doing what just do what they ask us to do.
I tell you what I've observed, and that is most of our problems, communication and otherwise, come from selfishness, pride, and selfishness. And those two are twin sisters.
You know, the Bible says only by pride come in contention.
That's right. Only by pride. Contention. That's exactly right. And a haughty, what is it? Pride come before destruction, a haughty spirit before fall. So if communications are messed up in the home, if there's division, if there's strife in the home, wouldn't it be the same as what Paul said in Corinthians about? You know, he told those Corinthians, he said, there's divisions among you, there's strife. He said, I can't deal with you as mature people. I have to deal with you like babies.
And by the way, if there's strife in the home, it is the husband's responsibility to get it fixed.
Exactly.
It's our responsibility.
That's a lot of responsibility.
Well, and it is. And most of the time, when there's issues, and I've seen, and I probably won't have time to really deal with this like I want to until after the break, but I've seen situations to where when a man gives up the reins of the home, or basically gives up his responsibility, and this happens a lot of times when you have an aggressive wife, and I think maybe the word aggressive is not the right word to use, but where you have a wife who's diligent about business and a husband's more laid back. You get to a place where he just gives up the reins, and that's the worst thing that can possibly be done in a home.
Well, men today don't care much. I mean, you know, most of the time, if there is any religion in the home, the wife is the religious leader of the home.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the Issues of Life radio show right here on WTGF.
And we are back here on the Issues of Life radio program. Keep thy heart with all diligence, Brad Vitt, are the Issues of Life. We're going into our last couple of segments talking about marriage and communication. And what else we got, Brother Dewey?
Well, that's, you know, we were talking again about submission before we went off the air. And the idea of we are to submit one to another. Husband has a responsibility to love his wife. And it says the command to the husband is to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The command to the wife is, wives, submit yourselves. And I don't believe this phraseology here is by accident. I don't believe it. None of it. None of the Word of God is by accident. We know that. But I just want to emphasize this point. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands.
Your own husbands.
See, I've seen women who are more prone to submit to their pastor or some leader in another cat. Maybe their boss, you know. They don't have any problems. Maybe their husband is laid back. Maybe their husband is kind of not real aggressive, you know. And it doesn't clarify that. I mean, it doesn't give you any out on this thing. It doesn't say, well, wives, submit to your husbands if he's what he ought to be. Now, he's not told to be a dynamic leader for the wife to submit to the husband. You know, there are some people who just have a leadership ability about them, who are dynamic in their, and they're trained maybe, or, I mean, you know, there's just a lot of things that could be said about that. It just simply says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands.
And that's the phrase that sticks out because of some past experiences that I've heard about and read about and know about personally. That's the phrase that sticks out for me in that verse, your own husband.
Yeah.
And it says in another place, That if my wife has a question, a spiritual question,
yeah,
she's to ask her own husband at home.
Yeah, and if he doesn't know,
yeah,
and very likely, you know, I mean, here, let's just have a scenario. You say a man, let's just say a man's working a job. He's working 40 or 50 hours a week, maybe out of necessity, whatever the circumstances might be, then. Maybe he doesn't have that time to study the Bible as he would like to, perhaps, or should. And so he's not up on all the deeper thoughts and deeper subjects of the Word of God. That still doesn't give her the out to go ask somebody else. She's to ask her own husband, and her own husband, he has a responsibility then of finding out the answer for his family. And that causes him to be spiritually elevated.
And it does put pressure on us to study in as much as we can.
Absolutely. You know,
because everybody can study at least a little bit.
Or even if maybe they don't have time to study it, but to get all the, you know, do all the research, but he could go to somebody that's able to provide that avenue.
But you know what I love is when I'm in the shower and Renita comes in there and says, "What does a back of 5'6" mean?"
Let me pull it up.
I don't have the whole Bible memorized, babe. You're gonna have to tell me. You're gonna have to read me Habakkuk 5:6. You know, and let me get to it. Let me do this first.
No, you need it now.
Oh, mercy. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Now, that's not a popular subject today. You know, we're talking about family relationships. We're focusing on communications. And these things enter into those communications. You know, you cannot ignore these particular things and it come out right. It's just, you just can't do it. So, again, wives, submit yourself to your husbands. It says, therefore, the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. And then it goes into the instruction about the husbands. Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Isn't that another avenue that where the problem is? And I mentioned earlier, pride, selfishness. See, the husbands, as historically, as I've observed and in my own life and that of others, we have a tendency to be selfish. you know, to have a tendency to. That was our big problem when I first married. Is it was more selfishness than serving the Lord. You know, if you're going to serve the Lord, it's got to be done in humility. You know, not
well. The greatest way you can serve the Lord is in your marriage. Is that not? I mean,
I think so. I think
that's your primary
major
ministry.
Factor. Sure. Yeah. You're the rest of whatever ministry you have out here. If you're a pastor and have a church, if you're an evangelist and have meetings, and you know that whatever it might be, a missionary. You're not your effectiveness is going to be limited to how you deal with your family.
See, if think because the one phrase we haven't dealt with is I think it's the verses we talked about your dwell with all knowledge, and it says that your prayers be not hindered. So how I deal with my wife, that's I think that's in 1 or 2 Peter 3, and how I deal with my wife could affect my spiritual life, and you know, if things aren't right, I mean, you're going to have problems. You're going to bicker on occasion. But if things are chronically wrong between my front door and my back door, it's eventually going to affect my public ministry.
I think a lot of times preachers have thought they could get away with it. You know, they maybe not considered it. Tried to cover up problems in the home instead of dealing with them. They minimize them. They don't think they're as bad. You know, I knew of a preacher who, when he and his wife basically lived in two different rooms. They might as well lived in two different houses. When they would come home in the evening, he'd be in one room and she and his mother or her mother-in-law be in another room. And very little communication going on. He'd be watching one TV, they'd be sewing or watching something else on another TV. And how can you communicate like that? You can't. Now, there are times where you do need your own space. Yeah. You know, there are times where you need to just say, "Look, I need to get away for a while. I need my own space for a while." Either party needs that. You know, I've never been a big fan, and historically, never been a big fan of. This girls' night out stuff, you know, it was hard for me to get educated.
Well, did you
want to
go
thing.
Shopping for handbags?
Absolutely not.
Like, so, you can get peace for the day. So,
well,
it's quiet.
Well, I have learned the value of it over the last number of months, and you know, because my wife and daughter go out every Tuesday. They have their own time. That's between those two. They go and they go eat. And then, and of course, if I'm along, you know, if I were to go with him to eat, and sometimes a grandson, he has to invite himself along. I told him a couple of times. I said, "What don't you understand about girls' night out? Don't you understand?
He's going for the free meal.
Exactly. That's all he cares about.
And you've seen him. He needs to eat all he can.
He needs to eat all he can.
Boy, if there's a free meal around somewhere, he's going to sniff it out.
Matter of fact, not to get off subject, we're getting ready to set up a seafood feast. He and I are going to. He's going to show me how to grill seafood and what all to put on it and all that. But anyway, that's as you like. I said I'm hungry. So,
but the point is, you know, hey, they need their space, and them getting their space gives me space. And when we do come have our communications, it's a lot better. So,
and everybody's happy.
Again, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. And isn't that where the real rub is? Sure. Giving ourselves, you know. I mean,
there's nothing he's not willing to do for the church.
That's right.
So if that's our comparison, there should be nothing that we're not willing to do for our wives. Even if I got to make potatoes and while I'm trying to do something else,
and you better like it too.
You know, and one verse that helped one very practical verse has helped us, and we're teaching it to our children. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. That's Proverbs 15:1.
And I need to memorize that. I have it memorized, but I don't practice it a lot. I don't bring it to the surface.
That will be your
much.
Homework assignment.
Have you ever had to push a verse out of your head because you wanted to say something right then? You know, and you're like, "But Lord, I'm right. You know, this has been brewing for a while. I've been a good sport, Lord. Let me have this one."
I don't have those discussions with myself.
I have them all the time.
I have to say that I understand where he's coming from, because I have to remind myself that I have a responsibility toward this woman. This woman, and then I have to remind myself how good this woman has been to me in our marriage relationship. I have to remind myself that, hey, don't blow it on one disagreement here. You, this woman has been good to you. You have a good wife. Think about what you could have ended up with.
Lord help me. You know, but if you take those two verses, if you take a soft hand turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger, and you take only by pride cometh contention, then if I push out Proverbs 15:1 to say what I want to say, it's got to be because of pride, and it's going to cause contention.
It's going to cause contention. Can't help but cause contention. So we need to let those battles die, and you know, we need to let those kind of things just kind of go by the wayside. Yeah.
You ever come up with verses and preach messages that convict yourself?
Oh yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
About every time I deal with Proverbs or talking too much, I convict myself. Yeah. You know, it just.
Mm-hmm. But well, I'll tell you this. You know, back in the day when I was preaching more than I am now, there'd be verses. You know, that I'd be studying for a message, and Watson, man, this all right. Put this in there. You know, and then I'd start thinking about that verse, and I wasn't sure if it was for, because it didn't really fit into the message.
Yeah.
And I'd be thinking about that verse, and I wasn't sure if it was for them or for me. But now I know, looking back, those verses were for me, and I just wasn't listening.
And you
I was wanting to give it to them, and I instead of giving it to me.
Where, you know, you come across one, you come across one and said, "No, I'm not going to put that one in there." We'll just leave this one off right here, and we'll put this one in. You know.
Now this probably, of course, now this probably just happens with you and me. We don't want our audience to think that all these preachers, you know, they this is probably just for you and me.
You know, I was just thinking about that.
I was like, this probably doesn't happen with all these other preachers. Now
we need to
certainly not.
It's probably just for us. So
by the way, it doesn't happen with all the other husbands either.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. These things probably just for us. So. Anyway, but the Lord's good, I'll tell you that. You know,
all the time.
He's just mighty good, and I'm glad that I know him. I'm glad that I came to relationship with him back in 1972.
Yes,
and the Lord is just wonderful. And
speaking of communication, you better communicate with him.
In proper communication with him, it makes it a lot easier to stay in proper communication with your spouse and everyone else. Well, I see our time's gone today. And it's been a good discussion. I've enjoyed it. I've had a good time. I trust you have. Trust you enjoyed the show, and you'll tune in again. And don't forget, send us your comments even after the show. You can send your comments to issuesofliferadio.com. We'll be glad to answer them by email. And Lord bless you. Have a good day.
Be with us at the same time next week.
The views and beliefs in the previous program are not necessarily endorsed as the views or beliefs of WTGF Radio or its affiliated ministries.